Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
We're going to be talking about recycling packaging, but how about recycling money? I don't know if you've heard the breaking news that the Financial Sector Conduct Authority has fined Marcus Uister 475 million rand over false Steinhoff financial statements. I know that is news that is going to be welcome to some, but perhaps a figure that's going to be too low for some's liking. But Wendy, talk about the consequences finally starting to catch up with you.
Yeah, I'm just reading the press release which came in a short while ago. The investigation found that Mr. Uister and Mr. Dirk Schreiber made or published false, misleading or deceptive statements about Steinhoff International Holdings Limited and Steinhoff International Holdings NV, which they knew or ought reasonably to have known were false, misleading or deceptive.
How about that? Okay. We're not doing Consumer Talk all about deceptive business practices today.
We should be.
Record, but it's quite significant breaking news to be mentioning. That could be a show for
it's
another
a long
day.
Time coming. Yes.
Okay, for sure. Wendy, we are talking today about recycling again, and for several reasons. One, because it's a subject Wendy's passionate about. Two, because recycling of packaging is something I'm quite closely attached to because I have a husband who works in the packaging business. But thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, this past Monday was World Recycling Day.
Yes.
And you used the opportunity to go and check out a new system. Well, I say new, it's not brand new, but a new iteration of a system.
That's a good way to put it, yes.
That rewards consumers, incentivizes consumers for taking the time to recycle. And just to say that we're going to talk a lot, not just about that system today, but we're going to talk about do's and don'ts of recycling and mistakes that people continue to make. A lot of people, I think, doing it for the best of intention, Wendy, thinking they're doing the right thing by paying for a recycling service or using a recycling drop-off or whatever it may be, not realizing that the way they're going about it is actually defeating the object.
Things in that shouldn't be there, that aren't going to be recycled anywhere, and so you're going to give someone a job in sorting it and sending it off to landfill, or they are the right thing, but you're not,
treating them properly.
They've still got contents inside and there's no lid, and so they spill out and contaminate the rest, and it's just a waste of your time and everybody else's. And of course the environment suffers because your good intentions are
out the window.
Totally wasted.
And the person doing the processing suffers because instead of a clean item to recycle, they're presented with decaying food waste inside it, which
horrible.
Nobody
and
wants.
Worse, which we'll get to later.
We'll get to that. First though, tell us where you went and what you saw.
So I was invited by Pick and Pay. These reverse vending machines are popping up all over the place. So Pick and Pay has got into a joint venture with Polyco. So that's a not-for-profit recycling organization. And so they are putting out a whole lot of new machines. And this one was at Canal Walk. So off I went on Monday morning. And it's such a novel thing because vending machines, you put your money in and you get, if you're lucky, the machine will spit out whatever it is you've paid for.
A chocolate or a bag of chips. Yeah.
But with this, you're the one feeding in the product. It might be an empty can or an empty bottle or carton, but it has great value. Whereas, back in the day, we just put it in the bin and it went off to the so-called dump, we called it in those days, and that was the end of it. And now there is value in a lot of what we used to just discard and to fill up the landfills. And so, you put in your empty milk bottle or whatever it is, and you are the one that gets the reward in whatever form it takes. Mm-hmm. So this isn't new, as you said. The first time I saw one of these was back in 2018 when Woolworths trialed one at their Palmyra store. I was living in Durban at the time. I remember flying down, especially for this event. It was a biggie, and there was a lot of excitement in the store with especially children, having a go. It's a lovely way to get that.
To conscientize them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although usually what happens is they get this news at school and they go home and say, but mummy, why aren't we
doing this?
A separate recycling thing? Anyway, so yes, this was a shiny new store at Palmyra Junction. And as I said at the time, on this very show, Pippa, I said, you punch in your cell number and then shove the bottle or can into a hole, and provided its barcode has been scanned into the machine. And that's a big but, because the product that you've bought and want to now put into this machine might be fully recyclable and being recycled, more to the point, but its particular barcode, that particular product's barcode hasn't been scanned into the system, and so it will spit it out. And then it's up to us to actually, there's means of, you know, alerting the company, and then that barcode gets put in, and the next person, yes, and that's, so it's sort of, there's that sort of consumer involvement as well. So in the first month of use, and that one time, in that small store, 191 people bought their bottles and cans to recycle. 73% of them were women, interestingly. 40% of them were between the ages of 19 and 25.
Oh, that's a very interesting stat.
Yes.
The youngsters really embraced it.
More.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that was then. Was it, I mean, as you said, at the time, very novel. Then it was brand new. As you've mentioned, they have now started filtering in a little bit in more common use, but still something of a novelty.
It's novelty because it's very expensive.
Did the concept take off? When did it go up?
It's taking off, yes. So 6 years on almost, just about all the major supermarket retailers have them in select stores. Because they're expensive and because there's quite a lot of logistics involved, and you know, it's not a magic thing. You know, they need to be collected and sorted, and then there's that whole system of the reward and how it's done. Is it on an app? What form do the rewards take? And all the rest.
So tell us about the one you saw this week. Well, how does that work? It's a pick and pay in Canal Walk.
It is a pick and pay, and it's sitting at the entrance to the store, at the exit to the store. And they're going to be, it's one of 10 which are going to be installed in the pick and pay stores across Gauteng and the Eastern and Western Cape. They're not saying when this is going to happen, but very soon, later on this year, the machines will be integrated with its pick and pay smart shopper program to give customers points in exchange for those milk cartons, jars, water bottles, Tetra Pak, etc., as one of the rewards options. So Pick and Pay also piloted an RVM, reverse vending machine, in 2018. Mm-hmm. And they went on to then put 4 other machines. So, no, that's in 6 years. Wasn't a lot. But now they're ramping up with these 10 that are going out now and 20 more planned through another partnership in the middle of this year. So it's definitely getting some traction now.
Yeah.
So you can get rewards options either in cash or vouchers to be spent in the Imagined Earth app with various rewards partners. As you'd expect, the rewards are not huge. I meant to look this up. I said, how many 2-liter cartons of milk, you know, those milk cartons, would you need to get whatever? And I was told, I think it's 30 to 40 for 10 rand. So we're not talking massive rewards. But interestingly, there is an option to get airtime and data, and that in the context of this country is very popular. So I just think it's a lovely idea. The volumes and the scheme of things aren't going to be massive in themselves, but it's putting recycling, you know, literally where we're buying our stuff. It's putting the whole need to recycle, not just for the environment and because we've got immense pressure on our landfill, but also because of the job opportunities that it creates.
Yeah.
Huge. So it's kind of, it's not something that can be back of mind, I think. And as Pick and Pay said, you can literally, as some people do, and hopefully they remember to pay for them, you're really thirsty, you get a bottle of water or whatever out of the fridge, you drink it in store, you can literally pay and then pop your empty bottle with the lid on, mind, into the machine, you know, all in one
and
loop.
And get your points back or your couple of minutes.
Whatever you choose.
Airtime or a couple of megabytes of data as a reward. Now, you've mentioned the barcode scanning issue already. Wendy, I think an important thing to highlight here is obviously not all recycling is created equal and not all kinds of products are the same and of as much valuable. So you're going to get rewarded, I would imagine, more for some items than for others.
And then this is also an education exercise to know which recyclables have the most value in the industry because of all the various economic factors involved. So you get 10 cents for a PET bottle, 15 cents for a can, so cans more valuable than bottles, 11 cents for a glass bottle, so somewhere in between. The machines aren't very big. I had a look, they opened the door, and I was very impressed to see the machine was almost full, and everything in there was clean and gorgeous. So the shoppers in that Pick and Pay Canal store, obviously, you know, doing it properly. There was no smell. That's the nice thing about it, because you don't really want to be greeted with, you know, an awful smell because someone isn't rinse it out. And rinsing out, no, that's not wasteful. You could use your dishwashing water from the sink before you let it out. Just, you know, wash it out with that.
Now, I want to share this message so you can respond immediately, Wendy, because somebody's comment on the WhatsApp line is, it sounds like Pick and Pay is planning on stealing poor people's jobs with these machines.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I mean, this is a collection point. Somebody in the chain is still going to have to empty
absolutely.
That machine, sort that rubbish, and take it further along the chain, surely.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, these, they don't magically land up, you know, in a recycling facility. They need to be sorted. They need to get there. There's a lot of job employment along the way. And as I said, there's not going to be massive volumes. And waste pickers, or there's a much better word, the upcyclers, there's a much nicer word, because these people, armies of people who earn a living out of doing what we should be doing, and we're not doing it. So they're getting the bulk of their recyclables from the landfills.
Yeah.
And other places where they've been discarded. So a few, you know, these machines are, I don't know what percentage it would be even by the end of this year of supermarkets. It's a tiny percentage overall. It's really a interactive marketing exercise for recycling, if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's never going to be huge scale, but it has its place. And as I say, it's everything that goes with it, with the exercise.
For me, it's the conscientizing role.
Exactly.
I mean, think about it practically. If you are recycling in your own home, you know how many black bags full of recycled waste you produce each week. Nobody is suggesting that every customer should be taking all of those and feeding them into the Pick and Pay machine.
It would take far too long.
And it would take up half the store's floor volume for another thing.
Exactly.
But it's about making it front and center, impossible to ignore or overlook that you need to recycle. And I think raising awareness of what can be recycled, which is one of the key reasons we're doing this segment today. So let's talk about what is and isn't desirable for recycling purposes, Wendy, and what listeners need to know before, for example, they use a machine like this, or for that matter, put things into their own recycling bag at home.
Okay, so first thing is to keep it clean. As I said, rinse the bottles with grey water from your sink or wherever. Keep the cap on so nothing leaks and contaminates the rest of the recycling. Even if the cap is a separate substrate and can't go into the same recycling stream, so say PET, it needs to go somewhere else, the sorters know this and they will sort appropriately. But the main thing is keeping the lid on is keeps everything clean and tidy. You're not going to get spillage and whatever. The big picture, well, I just thought, let's look at, if you wouldn't mind, before we get to the do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
At this event at Pick and Pay Canal Walk on Monday was Sam Bennett of a company called Strategic Waste Solutions. And she supplied me with data on what's been recycled via these machines in South Africa since they were introduced in 2018 across retailers.
Mm-hmm.
So the top categories, and by the way, it takes, where was my information? These machines in terms of capacity, I can't find it now. What's the capacity? Between 650 and 750 waste items or 375 2-liter milk bottles. So that's quite a volume, if you think about that. I would also say, if you can, stamp on them to flatten them.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a fun exercise once you get used to it. Okay, so the top categories, soft drinks bottles by far, followed by water bottles, beer bottles, milk cartons, and energy drink bottles. So lots of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And the top brands by units recycled: Coca-Cola, First Choice, that's the long life milk.
Yes.
In the Tetra Pak, Aquile, Savannah, Valpre, Heineken, Sprint, Sprite, that must be.
Okay.
Is it, what is Sprint? Unless
not
I'm not
sure.
Aware of a brand. I think that might have been a misprint on my part. Bon Aqua, water, and Schweppes.
Okay, so very, very firm emphasis on the drinking bottles and containers there. And again, if you're putting it into get a couple of minutes of airtime or gigs of data instead of putting it in the trash, sending it to the landfill.
Win-win.
I think that's a win.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a very short break. Our conversation will continue for the remainder of this hour, certainly the bulk of the remainder of this hour. We will dive into some of the detail on what can and can't be recycled. We'll attempt to answer some of the many questions coming through on our WhatsApp line and share some of the very valid points some of you are making about the way you treat your recyclable items before putting them in.
Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Before the break, Wendy described the new reverse vending machine at Pick and Pay Canal Walk. So the idea is the shopper feeds in the empty PET water bottle, for example, and is rewarded with either cash or points on a card or whatever benefit it may be. Teresa writing in on the WhatsApp to say, my daughter uses one of these recycling machines in Germany for all of her plastic bottles. She leaves all other recycling in a green bin outside, too much recycling to take everything to the store, but she then uses that cash back towards her next shop. So yeah, it's not a brand new development. It's not new in South Africa, but it's the latest, and it's an example, and the fact that they're being rolled out in slightly higher numbers suggests that the concept is taking off a little bit. And as Wendy said before the break, a lot of it is to do with the simple marketing of recycling as something which should be part
of our
standard,
getting the culture entrenched,
existence. So Wendy, let's talk about the recycling, because there are lots of messages coming in about how to, can I, where do I recycle this and that. I'm going to start with this comment, which I think is an important one, from somebody, if I could just find it, because the screen keeps updating. The person was making the point about the condition you put your items into the recycling in. Here it is. Please put it out there that when people recycle goods, they need to be clean and dry. Trying to get through to the stacks of people who otherwise destroy the whole bag you've just recycled.
Yes.
Won't you just, again, explain why that is? Absolutely, thank you for that. So important. Do you think you're doing the right thing by putting all your recyclable items in a single bag and paying someone to take it away? But Wendy, what's the risk that you haven't, if you haven't done it properly?
So you're putting a whole lot of different, you know, these initiatives to make it easy for us, whether it's a curbside, you know, from outside your home or one of these machines. You don't have to separate all your recyclables. You get to put them all into one box or bag, and then behind the scenes, they get, you know, a whole lot of workers separate it all out. So you can imagine, you not only have to think about what you're putting into the recycling bag, but the condition you're putting it in. So you can have, you know, a takeaway and just sling it into the bin with all the sauce and the remnants and everything else. It's fine. It's going to landfill. However, if you want the container it came in to be recycled, if it's possible, then, you know, you have to just put it,
rinse it,
and it must be dry. And it's so easy to do. Before you let out your dishwashing water, run it through and put it on the rack to dry, whatever works for you. Lean it up against the wall, whatever it is. And when it's dry the next day, and clean, pop it in the recycling. And if something has a cap, if, you know, if there's remnants of moisture, put the cap on. That'll stop it leaking. It'll be taken care of in the sorting process. A little extra step, but at least it hasn't contaminated the rest. You can imagine you've got in the same bag as your plastic bottles or your glass bottles, you've now got paper, cardboard paper, which, you know, is going to go off to a different recycling plant. If it's wet, soggy, messed with food waste, it's not going to happen. It's just going to go straight, be diverted straight to the landfill. And I remember, Pippa, that same time as I went to the Woolworths trialing of that first reverse vending machine in Palmyra Junction, I went straight from that. They took me to a recycling plant run by a wonderful woman whose name I forget. And I watched the sorting happened, and I watched a lot of things being discarded, and that was nearly 6 years ago. And I said, what percentage, and that came from curbside deliveries from different areas, what percentage of the content that you get in here is diverted to landfill? And she said 14% at the time. I don't know if it's gone up or down, but that's really significant, and a lot of wasted effort on everyone's part. You know,
and absolutely. So I'm so glad this person sent in this tip. It's something I do as well, saying I put my recycled plastic and glass in the dishwasher. It always comes out clean and dry. I do the same, particularly if you've got
a couple of gaps here and there.
If the top layer is full and you need more coffee cups, so you've got to run the machine, put them through. They come out beautifully clean. Yeah. They're properly dry and then into the recycling bin.
And the other thing to save space is with your drinks bottles, your PETs and your milk bottles, just when they're nice and clean and dry and ready for the bin, stand on them. You save so much volume that way. Flatten them out and it goes, and it really is, it's a volumes game.
Absolutely. I've seen it in terms of collection. People putting out, for example, they take a lot delivery
or
boxes.
Or don't get me started.
Without having dismantled them first.
And all the recycles, all the collectors say, if you take the trouble to read their advice, please flatten. And it makes me so mad. It takes a couple of seconds just to run a knife or even a car key down the tape, flatten it out, just as you take the thing out, do that. Or maybe wait to see if you need to return it first. Yes. Because I see the guys in my area, they come and they throw these boxes onto the big cage truck.
Yes.
And then there's workers that literally do the Rumpelstiltskin jumping up and down on those boxes to flatten and make more space. By the time they get to my area, they're quite full. And I just think, such laziness. I mean, points for separating it out and, you know, putting it with the recycling. But can you just go that extra step to reduce the volume?
And please think about the lids as well, particularly when we're talking dairy products. Wendy, to be the person on the receiving end of a bag of recycling, which has gone through several, maybe a day or two in process
it's
of getting to you,
in
and
summer,
then to have to open
day
in
like
summer
today.
A milk bottle whose cap had not been properly rinsed out and be confronted with the smell of sour milk. It's a nasty job as it is. Please don't make it worse than it needs to be for the person on the end. The one thing we want to mention is the labeling and sleeves on bottles. Wendy, in previous conversations, you have flagged for us that at the time we were speaking, those shrink-on labeling sleeves that go over so many bottles were not recyclable. And if they weren't removed from the bottle and separated, then the whole bottle was ending up in landfill. I believe there have been some developments around that.
Yes. I actually checked in. They didn't send me a press release. I checked in with Woolworths to say, look, it is Global Recycling Day. Well, it was on Monday. We're chatting about such things. Any news? And they gave me several things, one of which was news about shrink sleeves. Most artisan iced tea products, for example, in the world have what's known as a full body shrink sleeve. So they are traditionally PETG, I'm not going to go into the full name of that, which condemns the entire bottle and sleeve to landfill because that sleeve then contaminates the recyclable bottle.
Yeah.
So recyclers will not include iced tea bottles or any other PET bottle with a full body PETG shrink sleeve into the recycling process. So Woolworths partnered with its packaging supplier MCC to deliver the first recyclable shrink sleeve in South Africa. The new fully recyclable sleeve is made of polypropylene and floats in the recycling wash plant, thereby not contaminating the PET material. The bottle itself is also colorless to improve its recyclability because your green and your brown bottles, a lot of companies still use because it resonates with their brand, and the marketing is more important to them than the recyclability. And so you said we'll get recycled, but it's much, much lower value. It's lower value.
It's less desirable to the pickers.
Yes, because they're not going to get as much, and it can't be used for as many things as the clear, like top grade recycled PET can. So anyway, that I thought that was good, but for now, unless it's a Woolworths shrink sleeve, don't put that into your recycling because it's going to be diverted to landfill. It contaminates the recycling process, the shrink sleeve. And I would say think hard about supporting manufacturers who are still putting full shrinks on in 2024.
Absolutely. Okay. Wendy, the other thing that's changed since we last spoke about this is one of my big bugbears, that people thought they were doing the right thing by buying a refill pack rather than a whole new bottle of, say, laundry liquid or dishwashing liquid, not realizing that the pack was not recyclable.
It was much better to buy that big plastic bottle, 2 liters or whatever, there was demand for it.
That's changed, though, as
it's
well.
It's changed, and I found this out because I sit on the judging panel of the Gold Plaque Packaging Awards every year, which I love because I learn so much, and hopefully I contribute a little bit from the consumer's perspective. But Unilever entered its Sunlight Fabric Softener refill pouch, saying that is now recyclable, being recycled. So that very much but please rinse it out.
Okay.
You can put it into your recycling. And the other thing that's recyclable is an iconic product. Well, packaging that the iconic product comes in, the Woolies pre-cooked chickens, roast chickens.
Yes.
It comes in a new plastic bag, and that's fully recyclable as well. But clearly, as we've just been saying, if you just slop it into the recycling bin
without washing off the bits of chicken,
you're totally, I mean, you're actually doing more harm than good because you're going to contaminate the whole lot. Okay. So just rinse that as well, let it dry off, and you can put it in the recycling.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Mary Newland's asking, just please explain again what a shrink sleeve is. I'm not sure how else to say it. It's sort of stuck on.
It's completely stuck on. It has quite a lot of visual appeal, which is why a lot of brands still use them. But it's a huge no-no to recycling plants. They will not accept it. I'm trying to think of a product. I know, like Lucozade, for example, used to come into for a lot of flack for one major.
Consumer Talk
with Wendy Nola.
You can join the conversation.
The conversation still focused on recycling and particularly plastic recycling today, although we are going in other directions. But I love this description. Bruce, thank you for sending me your description of a shrink sleeve. Mary was asking before the break, what is that? Bruce's description is, think of it as a colorful, skin-tight active wear for bottles. It is a very good description. It's like lycra for bottles.
It's heat shrunk onto the bottle. So that sort of, you can, if you take a knife to the one little edge, you can get it off. And it's certainly a good idea if there's a, you know, recycle underneath a PET bottle or whatever. You know, I've done that, but it's difficult at most. And the labor involved in a plant getting them off, they just won't accept it.
They won't accept it.
So it's style over function. We want it to look pretty, but we don't care if we're going to mess with the recycling process.
Yeah. Now, several people asking about recycling batteries, Wendy, making the comment that certain stores used to have recycling boxes for them and have done away with them. So
I heard from Pick and Pay that they're starting an e-waste recycling facility again.
Okay.
So look out for that. But batteries, don't put into your general recycling right now. They will go straight to the landfills.
While we're on that subject, Wendy, are there any other no-nos that people might commonly think should go into recycling but actually shouldn't?
So I got this from a Cape Town-based curbside collection company called Kirby. Mm-hmm. They service a lot of Cape Town suburbs. So under paper or cardboard, don't put in the ones with plastic windows because that's two different substrates and it causes issues. So I can think of a... you know the ones we're talking about, like a visible window so that you can see the product through.
Can I say, unless you've taken the time to separate it?
Which is what I do, yes.
Would that be okay?
Yes.
So if you remove and separate the two different types of plastic?
Just rip it off. Okay. So it's just plain board. I do a lot of that. Wax paper, the wax will contaminate. Baking paper, same story, no. Muffin cups, no. You can imagine that, a bit of cake on
there. A little bit of yogurt stuck to the bottom or something like that from the baking process.
When it comes to plastics, the big 1 kilogram or 1 liter tubs are fine, but the little 6-pack single serves, so beloved of moms with school-going children, no. Don't
you can't put those
no.
in.
Different substrate. Okay. I've heard that before. In fact, I said that on this show nearly 6 years ago, but it's interesting to see that that's still the case all these years later. Oil bottles. The oil on the glass, and whether it's plastic or we're talking plastic here, it's not. It contaminates the process. So definitely not olive oil, canola, sunflower, etc. No peanut butter jars for the same reason. That smear of oil, unless you can put it in the dishwasher.
I put mine in the dishwasher.
But don't you find that the bottle ends up? Yeah, the heat actually contracts them, but that's fine. You can check the lids from those peanut butter, the plastic lids in. No disposable razors.
Obviously.
No squeezy sauce bottles. No toothbrushes. There's too many components there. Fruit and veg punnets. You could put the clear ones in, but no, not the black ones. A lot of them are black. Don't put the black ones in, only the clear ones. No takeaway cutlery and straws. No takeaway packaging, clamshells, boxes, etc. Unless they specifically, I would say, there's some companies that have moved that way. I would clean it and put that in.
I mean, a lot of companies have moved towards and are using that as a selling point.
Some of them are saying compostable, which is a whole other debate we're not going to go into.
Again, Wendy, please be very sure you've washed off any remnants of the food that was inside.
Especially takeaway.
Yeah, okay.
Coffee pods, no. Cling wrap, no. Washing powder bags, no. Coffee bags with the fresh, the ground, the beans, none of those. They have a metallic content in them. Reusable shopping bags, no. Sweet wrappers and chip packets, there's a lot. When you go and look at these recycling plants, a lot of foil chip packets, which are no-no. So don't,
really?
Don't put those in.
Okay.
I've had functions at my home, and people mean well. In such a sweet gesture, I'll go and look. I've got a recycling bin and I've got a normal bin. And the chip packets, I found a lot of them in the recycling bin. So I think there's a widespread.
Guilty as charged. I've been doing that.
No,
so, okay.
Those mustn't go in. Vacuum bags, so the bags for the vacuum cleaner, no. Toothpaste tubes, no. The tomato vinegar sachets, I think people are just throwing them all in the same place. Definitely no. What else do we got? Glass. Oh, this is a big one. If your window pane breaks, don't put the... This hasn't happened, but I probably would have thought I could put it in. No. It's a different kind of glass. I don't know. You can't put that in.
I mean, just the danger to the person unpacking and sorting.
Well, you would hope that any glass that's broken, you would wrap it in
newspaper,
something else recyclable. But yeah, no window pane glass, no windscreen glass or broken aquariums.
Goodness. Okay.
And then I've added this because I've heard it from many recyclers. It's an obvious one, but it's something that is the bane of all of their lives. No nappies, no dog poo packets,
no.
i.e. filled with poo. No used tissues.
Come on.
I know, come on. But it has to be said, apparently. Yeah.
How could you possibly think that your used tissue full of your nasal excess
or a nappy
is recyclable, or a nappy full of anything?
Yeah.
No. That's extraordinary to me. I mean, that's just sheer laziness, really, because anybody
applying
half a brain cell to that problem would know that that's not recyclable. And imagine what that says about, to me, as you said, disrespectful. That speaks of contempt for the person who's going to be
verging on contempt,
unpacking the bag at the other side of it.
So
that's really awful. Somebody's asking, can we please share the list that Wendy's just provided? Look, we're going to share the podcast of this entire conversation, which you are welcome to circulate. But I can ask our online team to draw up a list that we can put on the Facebook page, etc. as well.
I did ask a company that's very active in curbside deliveries as well, another company, to ask a very comprehensive set of questions, and unfortunately the answer hadn't come through by the time we went to air. And when I do get that, we can share that as well in terms of what are their biggest bugbears in their work and collecting supposed recyclables from people. What are they spending time just tossing to one side because they can't be recycled?
And here is the bottom line. Somebody's saying, I live in a complex with a dedicated bin room, and there are separate bins for recycling, for paper, glass, tin, plastic. But it is so difficult to get all of the residents to do the right thing. We have tried and we will keep on trying. Well, I'm really glad you added that last point. It needs to be made commonplace that we do this and we do it the right way. And that's why, to circle back to where we started in conclusion, Wendy, the reverse vending machine might seem like a gimmick. It might seem like it's not going to take enough to make a difference. But it's about normalizing recycling.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Totally. This is what we all do, and this is how we do it. Mm. They're clean, the lids are on, we respect the process, we keep it clean and nice, and make the life easier for the people that are going to do the hard work down the line.
And we make you recognize that there is value in those things. They are not to be cast aside.
It's not rubbish.
It's not rubbish. It is somebody else's, perhaps,
and
way of living. Yeah. So thank you so much for all the work that you do to conscientize our listeners with slots like this, Wendy. And thanks for the research on this one. We will make sure that that list of no-nos is shared. I'll ask our digital team to put together an article for the website and Facebook page. Wendy Nola, chat again next week, Wednesday.
Thanks, Baba.